This is Piedmont Arts, and I'm Rachel Stewart.
Well, I think to understand Bach, one has to understand what else was going on in the world around him, what composers influenced him, and to our mission's point, what composers Bach influenced later on.
One way to improve your understanding of Bach is to attend a Bach festival. Luckily, the Charlotte Bach Festival begins May 28th, and this year it's 11 days packed full of varied concerts. Bach Charlotte puts on the Bach Festival each year, and we just heard from their executive director, Garrett Murphy. He fills us in on all the festival offerings in just a moment. And Phil Vavra fills us in on all the happenings around the region to help you make plans for your free time with his fanfare segment. That is coming up in just a bit. What is Bach's connection to French composers, both Baroque and modern? How did Bach influence Brahms? What's Handel's other great religious oratorio besides Messiah? Well, this year's Charlotte Bach Festival offers concerts and experiences that help audience explore those questions and more, and learn about Bach's singular place in the history of music. That is the point of a Bach festival. The festival gets underway May 28th, and it runs through June 7th in venues around Charlotte. And here to help us unpack all the offerings, which are quite a few, is Bach Charlotte Executive Director Garrett Murphy. Garrett, it's good to talk to you today.
Thank you, Rachel. It's great to talk to you as well.
Of course, there's a lot of Bach being performed throughout the festival, but the big full-length works are not by Bach this year. They're by his contemporaries like Handel and Purcell and Vivaldi. So how did you all end up settling on these works?
Well, I think to understand Bach, one has to understand what else was going on in the world around him, what composers influenced him, and to our mission's point, what composers Bach influenced later on. And so we have a range of offerings that sort of explore those, while also giving audiences a peek into many favorite pieces like Vivaldi Gloria or Purcell's Dido and Aeneas that they may not have heard on period instruments before, with an incredible dramatic portrayal, and we're really excited about that. And then, you know, we are giving a little bit of a sneak preview in the first concert with Vivaldi Gloria of some favorite choruses from Handel's Messiah, with incredible forces from around the country, led by Avi Stein, who's coming in from New York City for this particular concert. And then this is also to sort of whet the appetite, if you will, for the final program, which is Handel's Theodore, which is just an absolute masterpiece. And it may very well be a premiere in the region in its full length.
Yeah, it's not one that I can remember having been aware of happening here. So these works, did you all decide, you know, it's just time we had Handel's Theodora in Charlotte and Dido and Aeneas, all of that. How did you choose these particular contemporary works?
You know, this particular festival is the largest we've ever undertaken, and we've got 16 events over a period of 12 days or so. It's really incredible. And to fill that all with J.S. Bach would be like a very indulgent dinner. And rather, we tried to create a potpourri of offerings to better understand the context of a composer like Bach. Theodore in particular, you know, the final chorus of that bears some resemblance to the final chorus of the St. Matthew Passion. And there's some beautiful sort of choral textures that Handel explores, but he takes music in a very different direction. And it's all about beautiful melodies and exciting drama. And he really was a theatrical composer in the truest sense for the theater. And Bach was much more of a theatrical composer, but deeply rooted in a spiritual sense. And so we have a little bit of that as well. We're also offering in one of our tuning ins, these free midday concerts. We're doing a work by Handel that is also not done very often. My Song Shall Be Alway, which is one of the Chandos anthems. There's another side of Handel's spirituality and the way that he sets music. And Dido and Aeneas is just a great fun. It's a wonderful piece for the midweek in a festival like this. It's only about an hour length, very exciting. It's sort of a very concise theatrical experience. And then you can get home at a decent hour still as well. You're not saddling up for a 2.5-hour program on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, you know, that's another one I don't know that has been performed here recently.
I can't
say that with, you know, full authority, but I don't remember it being performed recently. So I was going to ask you about the size of the festival. You already brought it up. It's really big. I'm just wondering, like, what made it possible for you to go bigger this year?
Well, a lot of it, I think, is the range of offerings and also partnerships. You know, we begin the festival this year with a wonderful opportunity to work with all of you at WDAV and Free Range Brewing and Tosco Music and Steinway Carolina, really working together to highlight musical offerings for the community in an unconventional environment. We're not in a church or a university as we often find ourselves, but highlighting great music. And so we have those sort of programs. We're doing a hymn sing on Friday the 29th and rooting that really with some of the Bach chorales that one finds in hymnals nowadays and trying to draw those connections between what people were singing early in America in church and what Lutherans in Bach's time would have been doing during something like the St. Matthew Passion, which really was a communal event. And really embracing the idea of community. And we have just some terrific artists coming through with Avi Stein. We've got amazing singers coming, of course, as we do every year. But then taking a little bit of a step into French Baroque music, which is, if you don't know it, a wonderful sort of snappy rhythm and a very different kind of experience. If you know Handel's Messiah Overture, then you know a little bit of French Baroque music because that's what they call a French overture. But really, it's just an array of things. We have 55 artists coming throughout the festival. Terrifically exciting. And most of all, back to Theodore, for example, we sought really throughout the nation the singers who are able to do these roles well. It's sort of like casting a Wagner opera. It's not something that every soprano can do. You need somebody with an expansive range to be able to do some of these roles in that piece. And we were able to find just that. And we're truly delighted to welcome some new folks with us this year who have that particular voice for the repertoire, but also will be singing, you know, in the chorus and a range of other things as well.
I think that's an important thing to point out, especially for people who may not be as familiar with the Bach Festival. Is that, yes, it's our local Bach Festival, but we have artists, as you said, coming from all over the United States. And we have artists who are based here who also participate. And I don't know, I guess that's typical of a Bach Festival. I don't know, but...
Well, it's really bringing the best we can together for this experience. And we have some folks, indeed, that are coming back that were with Bach Charlotte in the early days. Who are coming back to participate in some of these larger concerts that are local. And we're really trying to embrace that community of artists as well, because there's a terrific wealth of talent in the Carolinas. And we're very excited to be working with a number of artists from the region.
Tell us a little bit about Avi Stein. This is his first time here.
That's right. And we are really excited because Avi's doing sort of a residency with us. He's leading the program on Saturday with the Vivaldi Gloria and those choruses from Messiah. Then he's giving a full-length organ recital the next day at St. Peter's, which is rooted in some of the most monumental organ works by the master himself, J.S. Bach. And really, I think St. Peter's has probably one of the best organs in Charlotte for Bach. So we're excited to be back there at that beautiful venue. But Avi is really an internationally respected artist, both as a keyboardist and also a conductor. And so he brings some extraordinary insight into this music and his virtuosity. And then the next day, he's doing an open masterclass at Providence Methodist Church for young organists who can sign up and participate and get some feedback from the master. Avi's on the faculty at Juilliard in New York and also very heavily involved in his role at Trinity Wall Street, which is one of the biggest music programs in the country. We're really delighted to have him and his breadth and depth of experience.
Yeah, you usually manage to bring in some pretty great guests, so we'll have him to look forward to this year. You mentioned the tune-in events a few minutes ago. Can you explain what those are? My understanding is they're great opportunities for people who want a deep dive.
They absolutely are, and really, as our former name used to suggest more overtly, we are rooted in education. So we were for a long time from our founding Bach Academy Charlotte, now just Bach Charlotte, but we're still just as rooted in education. And we believe that really education extends to all ages, from youngins all the way through adulthood and beyond, because there's a lot to unpack with this music. On the surface, it's beautiful, but there's a real depth to it. We're delighted to have, as our musicologist in residence, Dr. Rosine Giles from Duke, who's coming in person this year and will lead these two tuning-ins, which are free and open to the public at Myers Park Presbyterian Church at noon on Wednesday and Thursday of the festival. On Wednesday, we're delving into a Bach cantata, a deeply theological work centered on the Lutheran concept of salvation through grace alone. But it's a wonderful way to sort of unpack what Bach was doing in these sort of sacred works. We're featuring our wonderful vocal fellows as the soloists in this intimate and conversational kind of format, where Rosine will sort of give a mini lecture and demonstration on the piece, sort of unpack it for everybody, tell you what's going on, and then we'll hear a performance of the work. So the whole thing in its entirety is going to last about an hour, because we'll have about 20 minutes of lecture, and then the cantata itself is about 20 minutes or so, and we might even have time for some questions and things. And then the next day is that wonderful piece, My Song Shall Be Alway by Handel. And the idea with this is to give a little bit of an insight in a very compact way to what you experience in Theodora, because we have all the same elements. We've got the French overture, we've got choruses, which are remarkable. Handel just was an incredible writer for choral music. And then some beautiful arias, the sort of remarkable contrast and expressive range of Handel, all in about a 25-minute piece. And again, with this lecture demonstration, and then understanding, taking all those insights that you've just gained from Rosine and bringing them to a live performance of this work will open your ears in a way for Theodora then just a couple of days later. And that's really the idea, is to sort of set the stage for what's to come.
So there's a lot of opportunity for folks who really want to do some learning and some deep diving, but you can just pick a concert, right, and attend whatever.
Absolutely. And really, there is some sort of pedagogical thinking behind the range of offerings that the festival gives. And really, you know, be that even the next night on Thursday with this Bach and the French influence, delving a little bit deeper into some composers like Rameau, obviously J.S. Bach is on there, but sort of understanding that, you know, graceful and colorful side of Bach really came and was influenced by the French sophistication and flair. Or, you know, even for some, it's coming on Friday to we always try to do sort of a chamber program that is what music the Bach influenced. And so we have a wonderful program that our flautist Emmy Ferguson curated that moves from Bach chorales and sort of solo works to music by Satie. She's doing the Poulenc flute sonata. We've got some Rameau and Franck on there. So sort of creating sort of a fascinating artistic connection across time. One of the most sort of imaginative chamber programs on there this summer. And then even just these beautiful organ recitals. We've got one by Lester Ackerman at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in that beautiful surrounding of that venue and that extraordinary organ. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the incredible Bach program with Avi Stein at St. Peter's on Sunday, May 31st.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out that connection to more modern French composers with that program. And I'll just mention one other program that makes a connection, and that's a Bach to Brahms program.
Yes.
Again, this may not be something people expect in a Bach festival.
This is one of these programs we're doing with you all at the Free Range Brewing. This is sort of the first pre-festival program on the 27th of May at 3 in the afternoon. Come out for an early beverage and an incredible program. But our co-artistic leader, Guy Fishman, the incredible cellist, is going to join the pianist Esther Gihe on for a program sort of tracing the musical lineage from Bach's contrapuntal brilliance to Brahms's emotional depth. This is a very familiar program to some that came in our Winterfest in January, but there are other added elements. The two of them are going to be doing one of Bach's gamba suites. We're really excited about that and all the flourishes that one experiences. You know, Brahms was heavily influenced by J.S. Bach. The cello sonata that they're playing is deeply rooted in the opening contrapuntis from Art of the Fugue, which will also be played on that program. But what a wonderful way to sort of understand that kind of power and the counterpoint that Brahms was able to bring to new heights as a result of his profound love and appreciation for Bach's music.
So a little something for most everyone, I'd say, on this festival lineup. So just the last question here, Garrett, what is the best way for people to get tickets and find out more?
I encourage everyone to visit our website, which is bacharlotte.com. That's bacharlotte.com. There you can find much more information about every concert, purchase tickets, and support this organization as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for chatting with us today. You'll have to top this next year.
Indeed.
Thanks a lot, Garrett. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Garrett Murphy is the executive director of Bach Charlotte, which produces the annual Charlotte Bach Festival. This year's festival gets underway May 28th and runs through June 7th. Well, what else is going on around here? Phil Vavra has some answers. Phil?
Thanks, Rachel. Over the next week, you'll find performances of chamber music, jazz standards, larger classical works, opera, and to get you in the spirit of summer, some surf sounds. There are also a couple of opportunities to stock up for your beach reading. Have you booked your rental house yet? Let's see what's in fanfare. The Kane Center for the Arts in Cornelius presents Pet Sounds Live on Friday, May 29th. More than just a rock and roll tribute, this show is a musical journey back in time to when the Beach Boys were creating some of their iconic songs. You'll feel like you're in the studio as hits including Wouldn't It Be Nice, God Only Knows, California Girls, and Good Vibrations were coming into existence. Founded 18 years ago, the Rutherford Chamber Consort is presenting On Wings of Joy with compositions by Mozart and Dvorak. The public is invited to enjoy three free concerts in Western North Carolina this weekend. Friday, 7 p.m. at Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Shelby, Saturday, 7 p.m. at Adaville Baptist Church in Spindale, and Sunday at 2:30 p.m. at Holy Cross Episcopal Church in Tryon. The Orchestra of the Carolinas closes out its inaugural season on Saturday, May 30th at Davidson Town Hall and Community Center Auditorium. The 7 p.m. concert will feature Grammy-winning jazz vocalist Carmen Bradford in a program of jazz standards, including works by George Gershwin, Fats Waller, and Nelson Riddle. Arrive early for a pre-concert talk at 6 p.m. Michelle Merrill conducts the Winston-Salem Symphony in two performances this weekend at Reynolds Auditorium on Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 p.m. The season-ending program will open with Connor Brown's varied How to Relax with Origami. Winston-Salem composer Dan Locklear's work Since Dawn pairs Maya Angelou's poetry, narrated by North Carolina poet laureate Jackie Shelton Green, with the Winston-Salem Symphony Chorus directed by Dr. Chris Gillum. The concerts close with Aaron Copland's Symphony No. 3, featuring the familiar Fanfare for the Common Man. Violinist, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Andrew Bird makes his debut with the Greensboro Symphony Orchestra at the Stephen Tanger Center for the Performing Arts on Sunday, May 31st at 7 p.m. Bird will celebrate the 20th anniversary of his acclaimed album, The Mysterious Production of Eggs, by performing it in its entirety with orchestral arrangements. Piedmont Opera invites opera lovers and the opera curious to an afternoon of musical exploration with Opera Light at the Yadkin Cultural Arts Center in Yadkinville on Sunday, May 31st at 3 p.m. It's a chance to meet and hear classically trained opera performers in a casual setting and learn more about the art form. The Armenian Food Festival will be at St. Sarkis Armenian Church in Charlotte, May 29 through the 31st. And about those beach books, you can find plenty to read at the Bookish Bloom Bazaar at Summit Coffee on the Plaza in Charlotte on Saturday, and the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library Book Sale at the University City Regional Library also on Saturday. Find the details about those and even more events on my complete column at WDAV.org. And Fanfare is made possible in part by Bragg Financial. Rachel?
Thanks, Phil. That does it for this week's edition of Piedmont Arts. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to get all our episodes and stay up to date with arts and culture in the Charlotte region. You can do that at wdav.org/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and iHeart Podcasts. For Piedmont Arts, I'm Rachel Stewart.